Right now, time for our regular visit with the Motley Fool. Labor Day has come and gone. The kids are back in school. It's the unofficial end of summer. If you're an investor, this could be good news. Summer was not kind to Wall Street. And this week, some of the bigger U.S. companies have had their own troubles, too. The board of Hewlett-Packard is in the middle of a high-profile, tabloid-worthy spat, complete with allegations of snooping and leaking secrets and maybe a criminal investigation. And there's change at the top over at Boeing as well. The former CEO swaps his Lexus for a Ford, selling 737s for Mustangs. There's also news on movie downloads, legal ones, the drooping housing market, and some big changes for your retirement plan. As we do from time to time, we've called on David Gardner to tell us what all of this means for your wallet. He's co-founder of The Motley Fool, and he joins us from Fool headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. Yes, that building with that funny hat on top of it. Nice to have you back on the show, David.
That would be nice, Neil. We do need to add a hat.
You do need to add a hat with the bells, too. They would ring in the wind. Before we start, our usual caveat, neither David nor I will offer any advice on whether to buy this particular stock or sell that one. If you have questions about the way things work or the way they ought to, about trends, about philosophies of investment, give us a call. Again, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And first, David, the story about Hewlett-Packard, HP, all over the business pages. It's going on to page 6 in New York.
Well, it's just because it's such an interesting story. Essentially, the story of somebody who was a director of that corporation leaking information to the media, consistently doing it over time, and another person on the board, Neil, deciding that she had had enough of that and hiring a team of electronic security experts to spy on the call data of her fellow board members. And in a way, you could make her look bad or good, and mm-hmm. I think it's somewhere in between. You could say she was doing a right thing by shareholders because she was sick and tired of seeing Hewlett-Packard's strategy laid out there in the media because of a source close to the company. So you could say good for her. You could also say, what is she doing spying on her fellow directors without telling them? And so I think the truth might be somewhere in between. It is a very interesting story.
And what is it doing to Hewlett-Packard?
Well, Hewlett-Packard is a company that has been not a great stock over the years, and certainly there's some volatility in the stock this week. But you have to remember, with a mega cap like this, a very large company, you're not going to see really significant changes in its valuation based on a tabloid story like this one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Boeing and Ford both have new CEOs this week. Changes at the top can influence investors.
Well, I think that CEO changes are important events for companies. And while I don't think stocks should trade radically differently based on simply the change in who's sitting down in that seat of the CEO at a given corporation, there's just no question that if you're an investor in a company like one of these, you have to ask yourself, what is the background of the new man or woman? What has he or she done in their business past? What is their likely effect going to be on, in this case, let's say Ford? Now, I'm not really a student of the game with Ford Motors. It hasn't been a great stock to own over the years, and some people have questioned whether that company's headed for bankruptcy. But if I were focused on Ford, Neil, I would be looking very hard at what is the likely new strategy based on the background of this person. And I guess to tie that one up, a basic Motley Fool point is that we feel as if more than anything, we're investing in people, the people who are managing these companies, far more than we are the actual products that the companies sell.
But darn it, that requires research. You have to know about these people.
Research, good news, is easier than ever before to do, thanks to largely to the internet, where you and I can click around and learn a whole bunch. I know a lot more about a lot more things I deserve to know, thanks to sites like Wikipedia today.
Now, I know you're a fan of gadgets. Apple, which finally figured out, after all the Napster nonsense, finally figured out a way to make music downloads and make everybody happy in the process. It now looks as if they may be offering movie downloads on iTunes.
And I think that there's generally some optimism about what Apple might do here. But in this particular case, as much as I admire Steve Jobs, about whom I've written in the past very positive things because I think he's an amazing entrepreneur and really a great thing for America to have on our side, but I really do believe that in this case, it's an overblown story. I don't think that watching a movie on your little 2-inch screen, it really rivals what Apple could do to music. iPods are wonderful.
I was looking forward to Lawrence of Arabia on that little screen.
The medium is the message, I believe Marshall McLuhan once said. And if the medium is the message, in this case, if my medium is a little 2-inch screen, the message is I don't want to watch movies on my 2-inch screen. Enough of us have access to home theaters or even real theaters. You know, people do still go to the movies sometimes, Neil, that I think that this one is kind of a non-story. I know that it might be significant, but if I were just betting on probabilities, I would say Apple doing movies, not a big deal.
All right. Let's also talk about something that is a big deal to an awful lot of people, and that is the housing market, which seems to be dragging on down.
It's dragging on down because there was so much speculation in the market, and in fact, it was the second quarter of last year that the market really peaked. And so now we're starting to look at our numbers and comparing them to where we were, let's say, last June, a year ago June, and seeing that housing starts are slowing, housing prices are lower, interest rates are up. And so all of the comparisons are negative, and there certainly is a lot of negative sentiment, and I think it's justified. A lot of us were speculating. I think we have to admit it. I certainly have had friends who've even had to move in some cases because of a speculation that they made, or maybe they didn't lock in that low interest rate. They went with the adjustable rate mortgage. And, you know, it's difficult to see that, but I see it in my neighborhood, and I think a lot of us are seeing it. And it's a reminder that ensuring that you don't buy too much house is really a good old-fashioned American thing to learn and to continue to do. And some people know a lot more about real estate than I do, and it's appropriate for them to speculate, but I'm certainly not going to speculate with my real estate. So I hate to be the bearer of, at best, neutral news, but I'm certainly not a fan of the housing market right now.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We'll begin with Ron. Ron's calling from Sacramento.
Hi.
Hey, Ron.
I had a question about what's going on with Microsoft. I was stuck there and got a packet of information about them buying back stocks, and when I went on the internet and read about different things, everybody said that's a great thing, but the offering amount is lower than if I were just to trade it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confused.
So Microsoft selling buying back stock, David?
Well, Microsoft, just more broadly than that, Microsoft has changed so much as a company. Bill Gates, not quite as actively involved as he once was, still such a huge and successful company that a lot of people don't like. But Microsoft now pays a dividend to investors today. That's a new thing versus 5 years ago. The Justice Department is not as much in Microsoft's face today. That's probably good news for investors. But it's also being disrupted some. Google, for example, is trying to release and make popular a set of software tools just on the web that kind of duplicate the functionality of Excel and Word, some of Microsoft's staples. Further, Windows Vista has taken longer than some analysts expected to actually get out to the public. I think it will be a big event for Microsoft next year. And, you know, Microsoft, I think, has traded well down. It's actually, compared to Dell and Intel, which are substantially down from a year ago, it's not quite off as much. Yeah, a year ago it was around 27. Today it's around 25. I actually think that Microsoft is probably a good investment here. Neil, we're not actually here to provide investment advice, but as I try to look forward and ask myself, you know, is this a company that still has vitality? I think it is. I just think that the market has pounded this company and some others like Dell enough that I think they're more attractive here.
Yeah, what about Ron's point, though, in the offer to buy back their own stock? They're offering a price that, well, he can beat just by trading.
And you know, that partly just comes into timing and sequencing. That's not uncommon. And I guess if you want to be a trader, you feel free to take advantage of it. In general, companies buying back stock, that is a good sign. Microsoft has billions and billions of dollars. And obviously what it's signaling is it believes its stock is undervalued. So it would like to buy some of those shares itself and retire them, which makes those who own the shares that aren't retired, the rest of us, a little bit wealthier, all other things remaining equal.
So as much of a signal as it is an offer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ron, did I help you out?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just was wondering why somebody would do that.
All right.
I suppose that's if they want to sell it and they don't think Microsoft's going to get better.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Paul. Paul is calling from Worthington in Ohio.
Yeah, Worthington, Ohio. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have a sort of general question. I think a long play as an industry, or actually a series of industry, is good old H2O, water. Filtration, desalinization, treatment, testing. We're not making any more of the stuff, and we seem seem to have a pretty insatiable desire for it, certainly in industrialized countries and, of course, even the poor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out where to start looking. I bought years ago a very, very small testing company that was later absorbed by a much, much larger corporation, and I've done fantastically well with it. I just have it, no joke intended. But the I'm just trying to get a grip as to where to look in the overall picture of things for potential investments in the future. I mean, I think I'm talking like a 10 or a 15-year play here.
Are they selling stock in any of the Great Lakes, David?
Oh, believe me, somebody will try.
You know, I don't know of a company that is the play on water. There are companies that have, as you mentioned, desalination equipment, and certainly, gosh, these days Coca-Cola and Pepsi have their individual water brands and sell a lot of water. But if I could just broaden that slightly, I guess specifically, Paul, I would suggest that you look online. And these days, if you just spend some time at Yahoo Finance or Google or other sites, you can just start doing your own investment research pretty easily by typing in water stocks.
Okay.
And I would encourage you, if you do that, to come up with a few names and start to look at the market capitalization, which just means the overall price tag of those companies.
Yeah.
A lot of times there are fly-by-night companies that claim they have some brilliant water purifier, but you'll find that they're very small and usually insignificant. Their claims seem to be much larger than the actual value of those companies, so you have to watch out for those kinds of companies. But if I could just broaden slightly, I think that I've done kind of a lame job answering your question just because I don't specialize in looking at water purification companies. But I will say that more broadly, commodities, of which water is an incredibly primary essential one, but obviously we think of gold, silver, copper, rocks, oil. The market over the next 15 years looks very strong for these companies, and the last five, it really has been the place to be. So these dear commodities, with the world growing as much as it is and China and India growing, that's really pushed up these commodity companies substantially. And so I think that if you do find the magical water play, I would take a hard look at it, because I do think that commodities are an important kind of mega trend that we're moving into.
I've moved a bunch of stuff about 3 months ago into commodities. But anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Good luck, Paul.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking with David Gardner, co-founder of The Motley Fool, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email we got from Madonna in St. Louis, Missouri. I manage my father-in-law's trust. He currently lives in a mid-level care facility, so I have to have great liquidity should there be need for extra care, which is extra cost. Currently, I have his entire portfolio invested in CDs. Is there an alternative that is just as safe and liquid, but that would earn him more than a measly 5%?
Well, usually the alternative, if you are being that conservative, would be a slightly longer-term CD. A lot of people buy the 3-month CD or the 1-year CD, but if you buy a 2- or 3-year CD, assuming that your father is going to be around for that many years, we hope many more, that might be a more prudent way to approach it. You can also begin to look a little bit more at short-term bonds, and for that you should look at short-term bond funds, which is the easiest, most economical way to buy those, and those are going to pay a higher interest rate for those who are focused on income. And a final thing I might mention is that the strategy of laddering might well be very relevant to managing money for an older dad.
Laddering?
And that is, yes, laddering, Neil, is when you actually take the lump sum, and rather than just put it all in a single CD at a single interest rate, you intentionally only invest a portion for, let's say, the year ahead. You take another portion and you put it into a 2-year CD and another portion into a 3-year CD. And so now, as you can see, you've divided your money up into three pieces at three different interest rates. And a year from now, the first bit will come due and you can reinvest that in a 3-year CD. And if you're following me and if I've done half a decent job at explaining this, you're going to see that you haven't risked all of your money in one investment at one interest rate, but rather every year after that, if you follow the scenario I just described, on the year, some money will come due and you can reinvest it in a longer-term vehicle. And so you're kind of rolling the money through and spreading out your interest rate risk. So it's called laddering because I guess it has something to do with rungs. And I'm not sure I really worked the metaphor well, but I did at least describe a legit strategy for managing money for an older dad.
I think you walked underneath that ladder. And anyway, here's an email we got. You mentioned short-term bond funds. Here's an email from Kurt in Renton, Washington. My Scudder short-term bond fund has been drifting downward in share price for years. When I bought it, I'd understood that short-term bond funds are supposed to be fairly price stable. Why has it been slipping? What would make a change for the better? And are we there yet?
Well, Scudder actually has a pretty good name in these types of funds. I'm not looking right now at a screen that shows me exactly what's going on with that particular fund. Certainly, there is no guarantee out there, and the bond market sometimes is quite weak. I would actually want to stack that up. I'd probably go to a site like Morningstar and stack that up against some other short-term bond funds, because the best indication you can get of whether you're in a good fund or not is to have some context for how other similar funds are performing. Finally, I will point out that I'm talking about the next 3 years, let's say. All of us can look back and say our stocks dropped or our bond funds may have dropped, but to sell at that point is often the wrong move. What we usually try to do is look forward and ask, do I want to own short-term bonds today? And I think for somebody who is, at least in the previous, the email that you read, Neil, mm-hmm. I think that is a good answer for that person.
And finally, just a few seconds for this. This is such a basic question, writes Debbie Nelson. I'm embarrassed to ask it, but does one need to go through a broker to purchase mutual funds, or can the transaction be done directly online? And I know the first part of the answer is never be embarrassed.
Never be embarrassed. And Debbie, you can certainly buy funds directly from the fund companies themselves. If you buy a no-load fund, you actually can go to the online site of the company, whether it's Scudder, Vanguard, Fidelity, etc., and you can just fill out a form and you can do an electronic transaction. You might want to get on the phone with them, but you can buy direct. You do not need to have a broker. A lot of people do like to have a broker for one reason or another, and brokers will help you. But at The Motley Fool, we're definitely big fans of no-load funds, because usually it's a little bit cheaper when there's no middleman in the transaction.
David Gardner, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Neil. Fool on.
Fool on. David Gardner is co-founder of The Motley Fool, a multimedia company devoted to help people sort through their investment decisions. You can find out more at their website, fool.com. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.